the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Perry Rhodes. Presented by Santan Ford.
Picked up by Rhodes at the 25. Cuts one to the 20, to the outside 10. Rhodes to the 5. Touchdown! Perry Rhodes!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store, Arizona's number one volume furniture store. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Bang! There it is.
Lobbing it far side. Picked off by Rhodes at midfield.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
What's my name?
And Kerry Rhodes.
All on that, boy. I'm on it. Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
All right, I could see you out there. Let's hear you. Come on, let's hear you. The Big Red Rage don't need no stinking bye week. Come on now. We're here each and every Thursday. Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Let's do a little roll call.
Yeah.
Ron Wolfley.
Check.
Paul Calvisi. Check. Kerry Rhodes. He's with family, Wolf. He's with family.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the way
it should be in a bye week.
Absolutely. Dave Zastidel just tweeted out this photo, and I presume he went back to his native Ohio, and he said, here's why it's worth it. And he's got a family, him and like all his nieces and nephews all gathered around him, dogpiling him. So the guys take off for the holiday. It's sort of the football holiday, if you will, because the other holidays they have to work, for example. And Kerry Rhodes is out with family right now. So what we did here momentarily, we're essentially going to pull the Herschel Walker trade. And we traded Kerry for like six dudes.
Really?
We're going to bring in massive knowledge here and expertise and guys embedded with the team. Rumor has it that Darren Urban and Damian Anderson and a former first-round pick of the Cardinals might be in attendance tonight to try and fill the sizable shoes of one Kerry Rhodes.
Yeah, that's sage right there, Paul. I mean, a good decision, I think, basically.
By the way, good decision by you to wear that little cover there. What do you got there? What do you call that?
That's a little pullover. Yeah, I think it's like from 1972. Yeah. Paul, proceed.
You're the opposite of John Lott, the Cardinals strength and conditioning coach, who in 33-degree temperatures at kickoff last week had a golf shirt on, and that was it. No undershirt, nothing else, just a golf shirt. Mr. Tough Guy on the sidelines of Lambeau.
That's football weather right there. You can't have it cold enough, as far as I'm concerned. To me, I used to love it. I used to love playing in bad weather games, and we can all look around right now and see that we have a sou'wester coming in here, Paul. Not a nor'easter, a sou'wester coming in right now.
What are you looking at, the Doppler?
I used to love that bad weather game out there. And John, I know he feels the same way.
I know you dislike, though. In fact, dare I say hate, and that was the bye week. You're 10 years in the NFL. You never liked the bye week.
It was horrible. The bye week was just, it was something that was so foreign. Once the football season began, for me and so many other guys, too, I might add, it was like being under siege. You know, you were in a castle, and you were under siege, and then suddenly you were taken out of that environment, and you were supposed to act like a villager. A commoner, you know, and it was just a weird feeling for me. I didn't like the bye week at all because it made me feel like a civilian when otherwise I felt like I should be manning the walls, so to speak.
You're around this team a lot, Wolf, obviously. Your finger on the pulse of this team. You think the bye week came at a good time?
Actually, I do. There's a couple of trends that I think that are forming that we're going to talk about as the show unfolds. I think there's a couple of trends offensively and defensively and how the opponent has been attacking John Skelton in the offense and the defense that will give the Arizona Cardinals a little time to regroup, refocus, and reset.
Yeah. Self-scout as well. A couple guys mentioned that. And, you know, like John Skelton, he mentioned, hey, you know, to bye does come at a good time. And if nothing else, everyone's on edge a little bit right now. And you know what? That's good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
You know, you've lost five in a row. It's good everyone's on edge.
Should be.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll come back. We'll talk about that. We'll get into this. The good, the bad, and the otherwise. The two seasons in one. That's right, Darren Urban. Damian Anderson on the other side. It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
And there's an injured Cardinal.
By Wilson.
O'Brien Schofield.
Rodgers moved to his right. Darnell Dockett dove and clipped O'Brien Schofield.
O'Brien has got a
Unfortunately, the thing with his ankle that's going to require surgery, so that's going to essentially, well, it is, it's going to end his season for him. It's disappointing because he's doing some nice things for us.
Yeah, no doubt about it, O'Brien Schofield, and his season is done. It ends at Lambeau. Didn't know it at the time, but the MRI reveals it. And O'Brien Schofield, who was having a fine season as a young outside linebacker with four sacks. Last we saw him, he's on crutches, Wolf. And yeah. So Cardinals yet another challenge. And yet again, we heard their phrase in the NFL, next man up. It is a Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Kerry Rhodes, part of the bye week, backseeing family. And so this is where normally we would toss it over to Kerry for the big introduction.
Right.
And so, you know, we're just going to have to do a little makeshift here, deal. So we'll start with a guy to my left, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see. Two decades of decorated media experience, an embedded insider who goes nowhere without his tablet, so he's connected at all times. Darren Urban, everyone, from azcardinals.com.
You know, it's funny, I appreciate the Herschel Walker thing.
Yeah.
And we're doing the next man up here, too, apparently. But all I could think of is, like, instead, it's more like you guys normally have the PS3 and all the latest video games out here for everybody to enjoy, and somehow it broke. So now you had to go into the closet and pull out, like, Candyland or Game of Life and bring it.
Candyland.
Yeah. PS3 isn't working right now.
In fact, we played Candyland about 3 weeks ago in the Calvisi House, and the 6-year-old punk was caught cheating. I'm just going to leave it at that.
That's
that was not
good.
A good moment for Dad. It was a good moment, Damian Anderson. 4 years with the Cardinals, everyone. How about a 2,000-yard rushing season at Northwestern? The man knows how to tote the rock, and hopefully he does it tonight here on the Big Red Rage. Welcome, Damian.
Thanks for having me. I don't know about Darren. I'm not Candyland. I'm more like Black Ops 2.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I consider myself. But coming here tonight reminded me of it. Bring up a good point, Paulie. Back in 2002, when I was on the practice squad and got elevated up, that's how I felt tonight when Jim Omohundro gave me the call. It was like, man, it's prime time. So I felt like it was game day. Got a little butterflies in my stomach. Checked on it with Darren. He's like, hey, man, we're about to do this. So I feel excited. The fans are here. I mean, it's a great environment. I'm awesome to be here.
Here's what we don't want you to reenact is that first hit. Because so many guys say that the nervousness and the butterflies went away, that first full field hit. Don't do that. Don't reenact that. At least not on me.
My first carry was about 20 yards, and I ran the ball. Yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And he remembers every little detail.
Every play. Every play.
All right, is it just me, show of hands, or does this season so far feel like two seasons in one?
Yes.
It just does to me. The start, Wolf, and then the last five games, and it's zoom out here. I mean, put it in perspective, how different were the first four games from the last five? Is it just a matter of a few plays here or there? Anybody weigh in on this? Please help me understand.
Well, I mean, obviously, all you got to do is look at the wins and the losses, and then the way it's been spliced up is pretty incredible. You know, we talk about Kerry. I talked to Kerry last week about this, about when they were 4-4, and I said, does it feel different being 4-4 compared to maybe other teams that are 4-4? And he goes, oh, there's no question. He goes, there are some teams out there 4-4 and they're happy about it. But for us to be 4-0 and then to be 4-4, it's a whole different thing. And you know, you mentioned in the opening about how this is a good time for a bye. It is a good time for a bye. I think these guys all needed to take a step back. I think there's a lot of obvious frustration. I mean, I don't think anything's necessarily fraying in the locker room per se, but I mean, it's natural. I mean, everybody's feeling it, whether you're a fan or whether you're a player, whether you're a coach. I mean, nobody wants to go through this.
It's a results-oriented business. I mean, you got to produce and you got to win or changes will be made. You know, Ken Wisenhunt said it in this last week. He said it sort of like he said a year ago before they went on to win 7 of the last 9. We're going to look at what we're doing and who we're doing it with. And Wolf, that's, if nothing else, that gets the attention of everyone in that locker room.
No, absolutely, Paulie. And to the point of being 4-5 right now, it's the worst kind of 4-5 you possibly could have on the season. Remember, coming into this season, the expectations were level. And dare I say low, those expectations coming in. And then you win your first four. The expectations of not only players and coaches and fans and the front office and everybody involved with the organization, suddenly those expectations soar when you win your first four games. And the way they won those first four games and who they beat, the New England Patriots on the road and then Philadelphia coming back here. So when you lose your next five, it's a much greater fall. And every player and every coach and everybody involved has got to pick themselves up and refocus. And that's why I think the bye week is coming at a good time for this team.
What do you think is top of mind with most of these players? You know, take yourself back into that Cardinals locker room, Damian. What do you think they left in their bye week thinking of first and foremost?
Just how can I get better individually? Because, I mean, we talked about this on Cardinals Underground earlier this week. And as an individual, and as you said, it's a results-oriented business. And what you have to do is control what you can control. If that's Wolf being at fullback, if that's me running the ball, I have to control ball security, making plays when they happen. If it's Wolf, it's kicking out blocks. I mean, if every player on the football field wins their individual matches, this team will play better. But what we're seeing is they're in position, but they're not winning their individual matches. And to me, as a former player, and I don't know if Wolf feels the same way, but that's the most frustrating part when you watch this team right now.
You know, Michael Adams said something in our post-game radio interview where he said the wins earlier masked some problems that were there. The same issues that have been there all season were there the first four games. We just found a way to win. Is there a reason the Cardinals can't find a way to win in light of those same issues that might be season-long?
No, I mean, I think that they can find ways to win, but let's face it, a lot of the things that we've talked about, a lot of the problems they have, it was things people, even outside the organization, were seeing coming into the season. You got to find a way to overcome those things.
We're going to talk about some of the guys who have overcome and have definitely shown up on the radar, how changes are already being made in some of the rotations, some of the starters, guys will be getting more reps, all that and more. And a very special guest is coming up straight ahead as well, a former first-round pick who, dare I say, was a teammate of Damian Anderson back in the day. Hey, Cardinals single-game tickets on sale. Purchase yours today. Call 1-800-745-3000 or visit Ticketmaster.com. Back with the Big Red Rage right after this.
Shotgun snap, Skelton to throw, looks right, throws right, caught, fits at the 20, shakes a tackle at the 15, at the 10, at the 5, fits, dives for the goal line, touchdown! A huge play by Larry Fitzgerald, 31-yard touchdown, and the Cardinals are back in it.
You gotta be kidding me, Larry Fitzgerald lined up in the slot, ran the option route, broke to the out, John Skelton put it on him, and then you just can't tackle Larry Fitzgerald. Deadly and single-minded of purpose.
How about a round of applause out here at the Big Red Rage for Larry Fitzgerald and that 31-yard touchdown in the Herculean effort to get to the end zone. How about that? As the Cardinals, well, they go to Lambeau, and they were in within a touchdown. And then not long after that, Cardinals end up on a 31-17 short end. Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford, Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Paul Calvisi, let's run this down. Ron Wolfley, Damian Anderson, Darren Urban here. Kerry Rhodes on the bye week. And so we talk about a game in Lambeau, and you talk about Larry Fitzgerald. And by the way, with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo donates $500 to local schools through the Passing Touchdown for Schools Fund. Wells Fargo together will go far. And you talk about Fitz and that great effort, but then you have to talk about the drops. And if I remember what Ken Wisenhunt said, Darren, he counted 7 in that game. And you're talking about John Skelton already threw for just over 300 yards.
Yeah.
You know, you make those, turn those incompletions into completions. How much do you think it changes the game?
Well, I mean, you had a game where John Skelton was actually hitting his receivers a little more often than normal. I mean, let's face it, John's had some issues with accuracy, and for him to put it on target and to not make the catches. I think this team right now, anything it does, whether it's drop passes or missing a tackle or making a bad throw for an interception or whatever it might be, it can't afford those kinds of mistakes right now. And I guess what you're...
Just the margin for error.
The margin for error is just so little, and you can't have it. And especially going up to a place like Green Bay where you know that they're going to probably be able to put a few points on the board, you got to be able to convert. And this offense needed those. And to get the drops, it does more than just hurt your offense. It hurts the psyche. And I don't care what anybody wants to say. It's got to hurt the psyche on the sideline.
Especially in those third down conversions, Wolf, right? Yeah, boom. The play's there. The guy's open. And the ball's in his hands. You early do set. Unfortunately, I had a couple of those. I mean, it just changes the tenor and feel of the game.
There are two things, I think, that really demoralize a football team. I think number one, drops. I think number two, when an offense lines up and runs the ball right down your throat. Those two things really demoralize a football team. And, you know, look, as a football player, it's your job to go out there and not worry about anything you can't control. You can only worry about what you can control. And I think it's one of the reasons why it's demoralizing when a player will drop a ball, of course, but you can't let it impact you as a player. You just can't do it.
And what we saw in the second half there, Damian, was Michael Floyd not only get more reps, but he played pretty darn well. And after the game, he was pretty confident he can continue to do just that.
I mean, I hate to be cliche, but one man's trash becomes another man's treasure. And, I mean, we saw that. I mean, unfortunately, dropping the football created opportunities for Michael Floyd. And, I mean, in that, you see the emergence of some youth. I mean, we saw that with the change last year with Schofield and Nacho start to play. And maybe that's going to happen with Floyd and younger guys like Hauser taking over and being more incorporated in the game plan. But to me, the guys that I've seen, I mean, we just talk about consistency amongst this team. Obviously, you got to go with Larry Fitzgerald doing what he did. Talk about that 31-yard touchdown. I mean, to me, it showed like he wanted that more than anything. You talk about Floyd becoming better, Hauser making plays, and even just the perseverance of Cobb, the game that he did play when everyone had counted him out. So that's the things that I've seen has continued to improve with this team. And then you got to give it up for Nate Potter. I mean, I'll let the other guys share their thoughts on it. But and I know that we have a great special guest that could speak to that later on the show. But, I mean, how about him coming in and filling in and doing a solid job?
No doubt about that. You know, Nate Potter obviously entered in the second quarter and so forth. You know, it's interesting, Darren, I had a long conversation with Andre Roberts this week and just talked about how difficult it is for a rookie to come and really make an impact from the get-go. And he cited Larry Fitzgerald, which is interesting because Andre Roberts wasn't here. But him and Larry are very close friends. And he sort of told the narrative from Larry's perspective that it took him at least half a season. I'm just curious your recollections, because even a Hall of Fame receiver like Larry, it was a process acclimating to the NFL and making plays, wasn't it?
Well, it was to a certain point. But, I mean, if we're going to go back to Larry's rookie season, I mean, a great guy, one of the guys I loved covering more than anybody else, but a limited quarterback in Josh McCown.
Mm-hmm. More than me?
No, not. Yeah, I'm just telling you.
You're the default.
You're always the best guy there, Damien, as far as I know. But, I mean, Josh McCown's his quarterback. I mean, look, Larry was put right in the starting lineup, and if he hadn't had that sprained ankle in the preseason and that bothered him those first few weeks, I think he had a chance at a 1,000-yard season his rookie year. So it's all relative. Okay. I mean, okay. I don't think the problems Andre Roberts had as a rookie were the same that Larry had. But there's no question that Larry wasn't the same player as a rookie as he is now. But that goes beyond just what he was doing on the field. That was his work ethic. I mean, I love Larry to death, but he is not the same worker now than he was when he was a rookie. I mean, it's gotten much better. He's gotten much more focused. It's much more important to him. And I think everybody goes through that. And I think Michael Floyd's going to go through that. And I think every young player goes through that.
Keep in mind as well, the Arizona Cardinals drafted Michael Floyd to a large degree to bring him in here to loosen up that secondary, to be an alternative to Larry Fitzgerald. How do you do that? Michael Floyd beat press man coverage. Get off the press, get down the field, and make a play. Like he did against Green Bay. Got off the press, got down the field, made a play on the fade route. We've seen that a couple of times now. The more that happens to Michael Floyd, the more confidence this guy is going to develop. And when he develops that confidence, look out, because we see little flashes of it right now. When he knows what he's doing, he's confident, and then sees himself be successful, making a play in the game, look out. That's when players, and you know this, Damien, that's when you're a young player, you're unsure, you really don't know. Yes, you know you've got talent, but are you going to make it in the National Football League? You don't know, and then all of a sudden you see yourself doing it. You see yourself being successful. That confidence opens up a whole new world for young players.
You know, to me, it's just making the defense pay for devoting so much attention to Larry Fitzgerald. You know, whether it's Michael Floyd or a young guy, Damien, like Rob Hauser. I mean, there's another guy who has been up and coming out of necessity, but you figure, okay, even if Todd Heap does come back sometime in the near future, he's still going to be a big part of that offense.
I mean, Paul, like you mentioned, Larry Fitzgerald draws double coverage all the time. There has to be someone that emerges as a definite threat. We've seen Andre Roberts make some plays, but he's going to open up the middle for somebody else, whether it be Michael Floyd or Rob Hauser, and guys that, as Wolf said, I've been taking advantage of the opportunity as of late.
I also had a chance to visit, you know, on the radio side, the post-game interview with Michael Floyd. There is no doubt in his mind, that he is ready to make plays on a consistent basis. His confidence is not lacking or waning whatsoever. So, Wilson, one guy who has arrived, and according to Terry Bradshaw, is your midseason defensive player of the year. We'll talk about him next. Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Snap to Vic. He'll throw again from his end zone. He's in trouble. Runs near side of the five. Now tackled at the 7-yard line by Darrell Washington. Michael Vic cannot get away from D. Wash.
Michael Vic is getting his pants pressed. D. Wash rushes and then comes back on Michael Vic with that blazing speed. Wow. Michael Vic has met his match.
wants to remember how that Philly win. I asked Darryl Walsh, our post-game radio guest, you realize you just ran down Michael Vick in the open field, and he said, is that a question? He just sort of looked at me. He said, is that a question? Of course I did. You know, man. It is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford of Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. It's sort of like it. Maybe your Thanksgiving holiday table. You just pull up a couple extra chairs here, you know, from the garage, a couple of folding chairs. We all get around the table, talk some football. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Darren Urban, Damian Anderson with Kerry Rhodes on the bye week, and a very special guest coming our way. But, Wolf, where is this all going for number 58? 8 sacks. He's among the league leaders. Terry Bradshaw just named him his midseason defensive player of the year.
Well, I think it's going to Honolulu. Yeah, I think he's going to be a Pro Bowl player. I think that's probably a safe thing to say about Darryl Washington. He really has improved his game so much in so many different areas. I think number one, the game has slowed down for him. He understands what offenses are trying to do. He reads formation and formation recognition so much better than he has in the past. But more than anything else, I think D-Wash has held up at the point of attack better. I worry about his weight all the time. That's why every time I see him, right, I'm asking him, what's your weight, D-Wash? What's your weight at? And I'm sure the coaches are asking him the same thing. It's because the only question that I have about this guy and his greatness, the future greatness that he has, is being able to hold up at the point of attack when teams like the 49ers line up in pair personnel, two tight ends, two backs, and pound it right at him. That is where he's really improved his game, though. He's holding up much better at the point of attack, but I do worry about the weight issue.
Well, Wolf, that's the one thing you have in common with D-Wash, because the team doctors ask you the same question.
That's right.
Just
you got that right.
Entirely yeah. Different reason for the base. Yes. Now, Ray Horton said that D-Wash wants to be the face of the franchise. One of those tight players, a Larry Fitzgerald, or Darnell Dagan, and Adrian
Wilson. That was actually an interview I did.
That you did. Okay, great. Right. There you go, on azcardinals.com. A little cross-promotion. All right.
There you go.
Is he equipped to be that guy? I know the answer to this. I'm going to throw it your way, because he is getting a lot more media interest, from what I understand. He's doing a lot more of the ESPNs, the NFL networks of the world.
I think from the time Darryl walked in, and I find this to be true with most of the new players for the most part. I mean, Patrick Peterson being the exception, because he seemed like he came in super polished right off the bat. But for the most part, when you talk to these guys when they first come in, they're a little bit leery. They're trying to feel their way around. They don't want to overstep their bounds. They're a young player. I think Darryl fell into that category. I don't think there's any question over the last, you know, back half of last year and definitely coming into this year, either he made a conscious decision or he's working with some people that have made sure that he knows that he needed to make a conscious decision that if he's going to be what he talks about being, which when he talked to me, it was more than just being a Pro Bowl player. It was, again, being the face of the franchise. He sees what Adrian Wilson has done, what Larry Fitzgerald has done. He wants to be that guy someday, which I think is admirable, and it's important. And one of the reasons it came up is because we were talking about his contract and signing the long-term deal, and you can't be the face of a franchise if you start bouncing around from team to team. So he wants to be around, and I think that's an important part of this equation.
What does that mean, Damian? I mean, what does that mean for a player in terms of, okay, what kind of commitment responsibilities go along with that?
Well, you have to produce. I mean, the game of football, I mean, you can't be the face of a franchise if you're not on the field and you're not making tackles, in his instance, or getting sacks. And I think that's the one thing, as Wolf alluded to, the maturation or the growth of Darryl Washington. When he first started, I mean, everyone saw an athletic middle linebacker, then his ability to grow and understand the game. And as Wolf said, the game has slowed down, and you see him playing every play and being successful, whether it be sacking the quarterback, running Michael Vick down in the open field, or being able to stop the run. He's matured as a football player where he's sound, and as Wolf said, he may make a trip to Honolulu.
You know, I just want to go back. I think bigger picture here, we're talking about Darryl Washington, of course, and my only question is his ability to continue to hold up against the run. And it's not just Darryl Washington when we talk about that. It's the entire defense for the Arizona Cardinals. I think one of the trends in the first half of the season here, and I think Minnesota went a long way to revealing this. We've seen in the last three games now, teams line up and make a dedicated, concerted effort to run the football, in particular, to run the football in between the tackles, not east and west, but north and south, because that obviously opens up play action as well. Now, all of a sudden, you're seeing a very good pass defense, and the Arizona Cardinals have an excellent pass defense, but you're seeing teams trying to be more balanced to move the football so that they can use play action. I think of Vernon Davis down the seam. I think of the play action Tom Crabtree and the 72-yard touchdown. This is how teams are attacking the Arizona Cardinals defense, and it's a trend you can see in the last three games, Minnesota, San Francisco, and Green Bay.
Well, Paris Lennon said he talked with Aaron Rodgers, his former Green Bay teammate, and Rodgers said they saw something on film that led them and made that adjustment, or at least saw it on the field at halftime, right, to throw that in the second half.
Yeah, that's what Paris said, which is never a good thing when you get beat by a 72-yard touchdown.
But it goes back to our, what the coaches have talked about. All right, it's time to hit zoom out. You're still already game planning for every opponent week to week. You can go ahead and self-scout and then figure out, okay, what are we seeing about ourselves? And you make those corrections going into next week. All right, we'll come back in the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Cobb is shaken up. Cobb is hurt. Chris Kelce drove Cobb to the ground.
Oh, boy. Kevin Cobb went down to the ground, and two Bills jumped right on top of him.
Oh, boy.
You find yourself trying to fight off sneezes when it...
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, I've got all kinds of things I say to myself to keep my mind off of it, so... I held off about four last night. It was pretty comical. We were all at dinner. It was quite funny.
Yeah, in sort of a gallows humor sort of way.
Much.
I mean, if you're hurting when you are sneezing, as asked by our own Jim O'Mahundra right there, Kevin Cobb, then I'm presuming that you're not going to be playing against Atlanta. That much we probably know at this point. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Darren Urban, Damian Anderson here on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford, Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, and he's making a few throws, Darren, but I mean, that's about all we know. He said he's thrown up to about 20 yards. It's when he twists or torques, in his words, that things get pretty painful.
And that's probably not a good sign if you're just turning a little bit and it's hurting. I thought the most interesting thing that he said the other day when people were asking, first, he makes it very clear that he wants to come back this year and he plans on coming back this year, but he also made it clear that, I mean, there's really no way to know for sure until he's out on the field and playing what it's going to be like. I mean, they can test him. They can tell him exactly what percentage of healing he's done and whether that's okay to play with. But until he gets on the field, until he plays in an actual game, gets hit a few times, gets landed on, he's not going to know how he's going to hold up. And I think that'd be kind of scary.
You know what's interesting, Wolf, to me is if we're looking at the season as a whole at this point here in the bye week, and you look at Kevin Cobb, he's almost in a way sort of a metaphor for the season. I mean, what you saw in the preseason is not what you saw in the regular season. It's like the before and the after. It's just, things just radically changed for him. How well was he playing when he went down?
I don't want to say that he was playing great, but he was playing very, very well. And remember, the Cardinals were asking him to go out there and protect the football through the first four games of the season. I think when you try to evaluate a player, I think you ask yourself, was he part of the solution or was he part of the problem? And I think there is no doubt that Kevin Cobb was part of the solution in those four games. He protected the ball very, very well. The Cardinals made a committed, concerted effort to stay balanced as well. But here's a guy that threw for seven touchdowns and two interceptions. That's what they wanted to see more than anything else out of Kevin Cobb, that he would protect the football. He did that very, very well. It's a huge loss for the Cardinals, in my opinion.
You know, what's interesting, too, on John Skelton is that, he did not play very well, neither did anybody else really in the Monday night game. But, Ken Wisenhunt did single him out as playing pretty well against Green Bay. And I'm just wondering, what sort of progress have you seen, even in the past month, with John Skelton there, Damian?
Well, I think it's overall composure and his ability to go out there, because initially when he came on the football field, you could just tell he had a little bit of rust. And I think as of late, we've seen him command of the huddle. His ball has been accurate. I mean, we attribute those drops to just receivers dropping the football. But he was putting the ball on the money and just, unfortunately, the receivers didn't capitalize on it. But I think that John Skelton has embraced it, and he's trying to make plays. He's trying to go out there and resume that type of that old ability that we saw last year, that fourth quarter lore of him going out there and winning football games. But in order to win football games, receivers have to catch the ball.
You know, there was a stat I saw, and Darren, I think it was ESPN that sent this out, and somebody did some sort of analysis, right, in the stats department, some guy with a pocket protector, and they figured out that when Green Bay rushed five or more, that Skelton was 7 of 10 passing with a touchdown. When they rushed four or fewer, meaning they dropped seven or eight, he was 16 of 36 with a pick, and his QB rating was less than half what it was when they rush five or more. In other words, when they're blitzing Wolf, right, he's actually doing better as opposed to when they're flooding the zone with seven or eight coverage guys.
You know what's interesting about that, Paulie? That's another trend that I think has happened here since John Skelton has taken over. Teams aren't coming after John Skelton. And I thought they would. I thought they would go after John Skelton. What has happened here, though, is with all the problems the offensive line has had, opposing defenses are saying, you know what, we're going to rush four. We're going to rush four because, first of all, we think we can get pressure. We think we can get pressure on John Skelton by rushing four. The other reason is this. We can drop seven then. And that means, John Skelton, you've got to be accurate. What is one of the big knocks against John Skelton? It's his accuracy. Coaches worry about that because his feet get all messed up in the pocket from time to time. He's gotten a lot better at that. There's no doubt about that. But teams are trying to force John Skelton to be accurate. And because they have the luxury of being able to rush four and believe they can get pressure, which they have, on the Arizona Cardinals quarterback, whomever it may be, that means they can drop seven, and they're forcing Skelton to be accurate.
Any other takeaways on Skelton so far, or Cobb, and just the situation, Darren, you know, in the quarterback spot? I mean, right now, if you're the Cardinals, you're preparing to play the rest of the season with Skelton as your starter, or We know we still hear these things about Ryan Lindley at some point. Maybe.
I'm going to depend on how these next few games go, how John plays, and how the results are. I mean, would I rule Lindley playing this season out? No, I wouldn't. I mean, I think there's a chance that could happen, but unfortunately, it's going to be circumstances dictating that, and I think we all know what those circumstances are, and I think at this point, nobody on the Cardinals wants to imagine those.
And when you're going to Atlanta against a team now that's unbeaten, I mean, you don't want to be going in with a rookie quarterback making his first start. Let's put it that way. Hey, St. Joe's Health and Wealth Raffle coming spring of 2013. For more info, visit healthwealthraffle.org. Wolf, make room over there. We got another guy who played a decade in the NFL. He is next on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford.
Bridges and Shelton getting it done on the right side of the line.
That's where they're running. They got fresh legs over there.
L.J. Shelton has had some terrific blocks on those runs.
They ran right off the backsides of Bridges and Shelton, and both those guys did their job. They matched up and just powered their guys off the ball.
L.J. Shelton had a terrific block.
L.J.'s a guy that's been there. He knows what this is all about. That's what you want to see. Those offensive linemen love that running game because they get to lean on those defensive linemen.
All going into the archives there, right there. How about Jim Omondro finding that one? A young Dave Pasch and John Missler, yes, giving props to the offensive line. How about Jeremy Bridges going back circa 2004 right there? And, of course, Jeremy Bridges in the news this week. He had the season-ending, well, the thumb injury that put him on the IR, and then he was released from the IR. Now he can play for any other team in the NFL effective this week. But that's a little foreshadowing here, gentlemen. Ron Wolfley, Damian Anderson, yours truly, Paul Calvisi on the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford. And, yes, the guy who was mentioned there, the first-round pick, what, 1999, number 21 overall, played 10 years in the NFL. Six with your Arizona Cardinals. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome L.J. Shelton.
Yeah.
It's not easy replacing Darren Urban, azcardinals.com here, L.J. You know, you got to bring the knowledge over there. I know you probably you could wrestle him down, you know, and just take his seat, but you didn't need to do that.
No, so, I'm going to try to fill in for him best I can to the end of the show.
How are we doing, by the way?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Yeah. Thanks for asking. I'm doing real well.
What occupies your days? What are you doing these days for work or fun or anything in between?
Let's start with fun. Fatherhood. I have a 10-year-old son, so he takes up about 80% of my time. Coming up this time of year, I do combine training for players coming into the league.
Okay.
About November to April. And what we're doing here is helping out where I can. Do anything for the Cardinals, man.
All right, can I ask this big man right here, or please don't take offense to this. What do you think you're weighing these days?
Oh, me?
Because you look like you could still go.
A good three. I'm about 30 over my playing weight. Good, okay, 75, 80 right
so
now.
So three. Okay, let's just say 370. Let's just say that right there. What you don't know about this guy, at 370 pounds, he could do the cha-cha better than any of you. He had the sweetest feet
not
on
anymore.
The face of the planet. Not anymore?
Not anymore. I do appreciate it. No.
Behind closed doors.
Behind
closed doors.
Can you still hoop, though, LJ? Because I know you were a basketball player first, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I can still shoot. I can't still dunk. I can dunk. I just can't land. I can go up. I can't come back down.
And, Paulie, don't let him be modest. He didn't play football till a senior year in high school.
No, come on now. Really?
I was a basketball player primarily till my senior year.
Well, that makes sense. Your father was in the NBA for what, a decade, right?
Yeah, 10 years.
Lonnie Shelton, obviously, power forward, right?
Right. So I see. Basketball in my blood, but but football in my
bones. But he wanted money in his wallet.
Exactly.
So when you hear those archive play-by-play highlights, do you still long for the game at times, or you moved on, you don't miss it?
I've moved on from playing. You know what, I miss the camaraderie. I know a lot of guys say that, but I miss the locker room. I miss seeing your friends and your coworkers every day like that, but I don't miss how I felt on Mondays. You know what I mean? I don't miss that at all. I'm glad I am where I am now.
And when you do you still follow the Cardinals? And have you seen how the Cardinals' O-line has been in the headlines and has been the subject of media coverage and scrutiny, dare we say, most of the season?
Yeah, follow them very closely. Follow the O-line very closely. I'm pulling for those guys. You know, they have some inexperienced players on there. They're really, this year is a good indicator of what experience does for you on the offensive line. These guys haven't played together. They haven't played much at all. They haven't had enough reps, and it's showing out there on Sundays.
In particular, have you looked at Bobby Massey at right tackle and looked over at Nate Potter and how he played in the last game? What do you see?
See rookies. You know what I mean? I see promise. I do see promise, but I see rookies out there, and I think the biggest thing for them right now is experience. The hundreds of different looks you'll see between your Sundays and different coordinators and them putting that all together throughout their career as they get more experience, they'll start to learn to recognize looks. But right now, it's just a learning game for them, too.
So what's his biggest challenge, Nate Potter, you think? I mean, there he was thrust in the second quarter and now going, ostensibly he's going to start against Atlanta. So what's the biggest challenge for him?
Biggest challenge for him is John Abraham.
Just those matchups against guys who have been to Pro Bowls.
Exactly. Going against experienced perennial Pro Bowl players like that is going to be a challenge for him. But he has teammates. He has coaches that put him in the right position. You can put guys back there to chip and help and give him a little misdirection and keep him guessing a little bit. You know, I advise him on any short pass early on, cut him to slow him down. Mm-hmm. And from there on, just play football. I'm sure he experienced it last week. Once you're out there and the ball is snapped and the helmets are hitting, it's football all over again. So trust your instincts and play football.
But LJ, playing 10 years in the league, is there anything that you recommend the Cardinals coaches do, whether versus the zone run versus downhill running, like ISOs, leads, powers versus the zone run with inexperienced guys?
With inexperienced guys, I would run power. I'd go for the power game because there's not as much finesse. It's not as much reading the block. It's coming around the corner and hitting whatever shows up. I think that would lend well to these guys' strengths. The guards move very well. I think they'll move in space very well. So the more you can get them out on the edges and helping out with blocks and with double teams, the better off they'll be.
So all those years when you offensive linemen talk about continuity and chemistry, and I mean, you're not kidding. We're getting a dose of that this year. The moment Levi Brown went down and was out for the season, it just sort of just disrupted all of that across the offensive line, didn't it?
Definitely. And they had some time to get over the loss of Levi Brown, but then when those guys start going on down around you, you have young players on the edges, then you have guys that haven't practiced or played next to each other very much, it'll start to show up. But I think towards this last stretch here, as their experience comes up and they start retaining some of the things that they see, some of the information that they get, then play will come up for the offensive line.
You mentioned John Abraham. Who was the guy who just gave you fits? Who was the guy in your 10-year career you're like, man, this was my biggest challenge?
The guy I had to play the most was Hugh Douglas back when we were in the NFC East and playing those games against Philly two times a year. Hugh Douglas was pretty good player back then.
Yes. He could get around the edge, couldn't he, if you weren't careful?
Or through the edge if you wanted to.
LJ Shelton, everyone. And, first-round pick, 1999, 10 years in the NFL. And he actually in college at Eastern Michigan played with – all right, everybody, here's the bonus points. Your quarterback at Eastern Michigan was – go ahead.
Charlie Batch.
How about that? Wow. How about that? Protecting Charlie Batch. Come on, out of Eastern Michigan. I think you guys were the last two draft picks out of Eastern Michigan, huh? Come on out.
No, I think I had T.J. Lang up in Green Bay. Kevin Walter down in Houston.
You know, you had something to say about Jerry Rice back in the day. We'll revisit that next on the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford.
Uh-oh.
Wells running left, and Wells runs over a defender, knocks his helmet off, touchdown. Left side, and Wells powers in, touchdown Cardinals. Beanie Wells, left side, big hole at the 45 at the 50. Wells at the 40-yard line, 35, hit at the 30, stays in bounds across the 25 to the 20.
Lower the boom, break the heat, lower the shoulder.
Cobb takes the snap, handoff Wells running left. He's going to walk in for his third touchdown.
That's the way you run the football, Beanie Wells.
All right, the only thing better than hearing about Beanie Wells with Pash and Wolf there in the Arizona Cardinals radio network is seeing Beanie Wells, number 26. And there he was yesterday at practice for the first time in, oh, we don't know how long. It'll be 7 games he misses when he comes back. Yes, he's eligible to return, and he says, no doubt about it, quote unquote. Says the knee feels great, the toe feels good, to quote him directly, and he will be back when he can after Thanksgiving in that game against the Rams. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Damian Anderson, LJ Shelton, the former Cardinal, in for Darren Urban. And a quick word, Damian, on the return of Beanie Wells. What will that do for the Cardinals' offense?
Well, he'll bring an additional 50 to 60 pounds to the run, to the running backs.
Yes, he will.
And that'll enable, I mean, that'll help guys move the piles, get those first downs, those third and ones that were difficult to get last week. And Beanie Wells, a healthy Beanie Wells, I mean, I think that it was that we saw the apex last year against St. Louis when he went out there and had over 200 yards rushing, and he finished runs, and we saw the speed and the elusiveness that he can bring at times. And, I mean, he's a big back that he can crush and punish people and get them to quit. And that's the most important thing when you want to be able to have that play action pass. And we talk about balance on the offensive side of the ball. And Beanie Wells can help your offense do that.
I mean, we saw 2 third-and-1 situations at Green Bay, Wolf. And, I mean, it just sort of illustrates the injury issues the Cardinals are having on offense. If you have Beanie Wells at your disposal, maybe it's a totally different situation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Beanie Wells, too, is a downhill runner. You heard LJ talking about the fact that maybe the Cardinals ought to run a little bit more power, and that's what they basically do. They use a lot of the uncovered linemen pulling around down blocks, of course, using that power scheme. And Beanie Wells, when you run the power, you're trying to punch a hole in the front seven. And Beanie Wells is one of these guys that provides a little bit of motivation, shall we say, to the offensive lineman, because if you don't get any movement, look out. That is a big man, and that is a large face mask right in between your shoulder blades.
You know, it's funny how the old linemen always cite that about Beanie. Is you don't get out of there, he will run right through you. He'll run up your back. You played with running backs like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Watching Beanie, that's really the first thing I thought.
Look over here.
Stay in your blocks and get out of the way.
Yeah.
Because he's a big guy.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of those old linemen aren't worried about the D linemen. They're worried about Beanie just smacking them from behind, unforeseen, you know?
You worry about what you can't see. What's mine? Exactly.
The Big Red Rage here during the bye week, you know, we had zoom out on everything, not just the Cardinals and they self-scout, but here on the Big Red Rage as well. We've been around since 2001, believe it or not, here on the Big Red Rage. If we go back to 2004, you were the special guest of, do you remember?
Was it Bertrand?
No, just before Bertrand, Anquan Boldin was the player host. And you had something to say about another receiver. Do you remember these comments? And do you know who it was? What do you remember about what we're about to hear?
I remember I said something about a Hall of Fame receiver that I got questioned about by him years later. But, yeah, I don't remember exactly what I said.
I'm going to say it was appropriate, though.
Okay.
I wasn't lying. I was not lying.
It was appropriate.
Okay, we'll get the end of the story here momentarily. It all starts with a Big Red Rage, and you were talking about Jerry Rice. He was playing for Seattle. I don't even remember him. I remember him with the Raiders. I don't remember with the Seahawks. But we all remember that one hairdo he had with the tiny braids / curls going.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
You had an opinion about that, Mr. Shelton. Let's listen to that.
Your impressions, LJ, of Jerry Rice.
I think he's a great player. More than anything, I'm glad he cut his hair off. those braids used to start back in the middle of his head. And I know he's trying to keep up with the younger fellas, but I'm really glad he cut his hair off. You can't really start cornrows back at your ear.
He looks a lot better without the cornrows.
He's
up
clean
there.
Now. Yeah, he's clean.
I like that look.
He was like trying to look 25, wasn't he?
Oh, he was trying his hardest. The classic look right now with the ball head.
That's and you got Anquan going with his classic laugh along with Bill Lewis and John Missler right there. That's just, you could, you know, Q would never hide it. When he enjoyed it, he'd let it go.
Oh, yeah.
He laughs like no other.
Yeah, Q had a great, his infectious laugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
So apparently that's not the end of the story. Take it from there, LJ.
I ran into him at a golf tournament.
Ruh-roh.
My last year playing in San Diego, I ran into him, and he just kind of laughed and said, I heard you said something about my braids back in the day. We knew a mutual person, and I forgot exactly what I said, and I get a chance to meet a Hall of Fame receiver like that.
Right.
You're all excited, and the first thing you, oh, you're Sheldon. You're the guy that I was talking bad about. Sorry about that.
Your jaw must have dropped at that moment.
Yeah, I felt bad. Heart beating a little fast. I felt bad about it. I did. See?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the good news is, guests on the show, Racina Feigengift from Bueller Swiss Watches. You've had that coming for about 8 years, LJ. Available at Gold Rush Jewelry in Casa Grande and Arizona Watch and Jewelry in Tucson. There you go. The 2004 Big Red Rage with Anquan Boldin at the time and special guest LJ Shelton. He's our guest tonight along with Damian Anderson, Ron Wolfley, yours truly, Paul Calvisi. Back after this, the Big Red Rage bi-week edition, all presented by Santan Ford. All right, we're back at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. How about a round of applause? How about some props for Kara, everyone? One of Marley's finest, got married a couple of weeks ago. Always takes fine care of everyone here, so let's return the favor. Many thanks for that. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Damian Anderson, our special guest LJ Shelton in for Darren Urban. So at the end of the pregame huddle, before each game, we go into the keys to the game. Wolf, how about a key to the second half of the season, if you will?
You know, it's the defense. The defense is the strength of this football team. They have to be an elite defense. They've got to keep teams to under 17 points. If they're an elite defense, that will allow the offense to stay balanced. And if the offense is balanced, that helps protect the offensive line, and that helps protect the ball ultimately, because you're protecting the quarterback. But I think the defense is the pass apart to the skeleton key to the rest of the season.
Anything stand out to you, Damian, second half of the season here, so to speak?
I mean, just being overall tougher, being able to hit teams in the mouth, run the ball, tackle better on defense. And I think when you do those things, you're going to create turnovers, get first downs, help in field position, and overall you'll be a better football team.
You know, LJ, I did a little research. 2001, you were part of an offensive line that only gave up 29 sacks the entire season, and that was the most of like many years in Cardinals history. What do you remember about that O-line real quick? What worked so well that year? I mean, what is that? Give us a key to the O-line play maybe here with seven games to go.
Not remembering exactly how it went, I would say we probably ran the ball a little bit more than usual. That gives you a chance. Or if you're not down two or three touchdowns in two-minute mode in the whole second half, that makes a difference.
Definitely helps. Special thanks, as always, Jim Almondra, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Tiffany Witt. Special thanks to everyone here. Enjoy your bye weekend, everyone. Thanks for coming.
Hello.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with Perry Rhodes.
Throws the five, touchdown!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store, Arizona's number one volume furniture store. Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.